This is Audible.
Summoner, Book 2. Written by Eric Vall. Performed by Joshua Story. Chapter 1. Mia Kinefic flung a fireball at my face, and while I dodged it easily, she swiveled on her heel and came at me with a savage roundhouse kick. As her blow smacked me painfully in the ribs, I grabbed onto her leg, shifted my weight, and flung her to the ground. "You're still too slow to catch me with an attack like that, Kinefic," I said as I watched her, ready for her signature counterattack from the ground.
"I could have gone faster. I just didn't want to hurt you."
She blew a lock of ashen hair out of her face and glowered at me. I smirked. "Says the girl who's lost to me twice." She rolled her eyes.
"Once? The first time doesn't count."
She offered me her hand, and I took it and hauled her to her feet.
"And neither does this one."
They both count," I replied with a snort. "I had you beat before the rift opened up and interrupted my victory." Which was true. I'd had her pinned, but then a rift, a portal to the Shadowscape, the demonic realm, home to monsters, had opened up in the middle of the school. Obviously, we had to put our fight on hold, but either way, I'd been about to win. She laughed. Her full lips revealed a brilliant smile that never ceased to take my breath away.
"Whatever helps you sleep at night, summoner."
I put my fists on my hips and pumped out my bare chest. "It does help me sleep at night, actually." Nia scoffed. But her smile didn't leave her face as she swiped loose strands of her ashen hair from her eyes. Her cheeks were red from exertion, and she took a couple deep breaths in an effort to recover. Still, even as covered in dirt and sweat as she was a vision of beauty in her usual training garb, a pair of skin-tight black breeches that hugged her thighs and accented her curvy hips, and a snug fit sleeveless shirt that was tight against her chest. Her gaze trailed from my eyes down to my chest, and then my stomach. Her brows furrowed, and she lightly bit her lip as she studied me.
"You okay?"
She lifted her hand like she was going to touch my side.
"I didn't hit you too hard, huh?"
"No, I'm fine." I swiped the sweat from my brow and sucked in a deep breath as she dropped her hand. "But we should probably stop with all the rib shots, though. We've bruised and broken an entire set of ribs between the two of us." I shrugged. "Between our sparring and practice fights, our fights with others during class, and our encounter in the Shadowscape, I think we've given in to more fights than the rest of the first years combined."
"Mostly you, I think,"
she grinned. "Maybe," I said with a shrug. "And while I agree, the ribs are a good spot to attack an opponent and take them out of the fight. I think Meriden is getting concerned with how often we're going to the infirmary."
"True,"
she agreed.
"Anyway, I'm ready for a break. You?"
"I could take a break," I said with a smile.
"Great,"
she said with a roll of her eyes, before she flopped down on the grass by her stuff and patted the space beside her.
"Here seems good."
"Well, there's a lot of shade," I agreed as I sat down in the grass and leaned my back against one of the beech trees that surrounded the courtyard we trained in. It was still warm even though the sky was the deep purple of twilight. That was the summer at Varley Academy for you. Warm nights and even hotter days. And since each night was filled with a cacophony of cicadas and crickets, I found myself missing the silent cold of winter more and more. Nia seemed content with the din and the heat, though. She laid in the grass in front of me, her arms and legs splayed out around her. A peaceful breeze passed over us as she took in deep breaths and stared at the stars overhead. I couldn't recall ever having seen her as relaxed as she was right now with the light of the rising moon casting a silver glow over her. When we first met a month or so earlier, she'd practically hated me, and, well, everyone else too. That had all changed, though. Now, Nia Kinefic sat beside me, comfortable in a way that she was with no one else. I was a lucky man. She turned her attention to the bag at her feet. She sat up and rummaged through it until she produced a worn water skin. Undoing the top, Nia chugged a few gulps of water before she stopped to catch her breath and wipe her lips on her arm.
You want some? I brought you one, too,
she said as she pulled another skin from her bag.
I noticed you never remember to bring any for yourself.
She offered it to me, and I noticed her cheeks had a touch of pink that hadn't been there before. Sure, I'd love some. Thanks. Honestly, I don't really think about it, I said with a smile. Our fingers brushed briefly as I took the water skin from Nia and paused to savor the soft touch of her slender fingers against mine. Then I gripped the water skin and drank my fill, while Nia laid back down. When I was done, I tossed the skin over to her. She caught it easily and shoved it back into her bag.
You know, moments like this make me really glad you beat Gawain in your duel, Nia said.
Her cheeks and neck flushed a deeper red as she spoke.
Otherwise, I'd have to find a new training partner.
Only 3 days ago, I'd entered the Academy Arena and fought Gawain Maddox in Rashnikai, the Dance of Wills. It was an ancient tradition, a duel between magic users. Most people hadn't thought that a mere summoner who could conjure and control monsters could ever best an exceptionally gifted fire mage like Gawain. However, I'd not only beaten him, but I'd absolutely conquered him and won our pre-duel wager. Now, I would take his place on the monster response squad and go out into the world to save people from rift attacks. Oh, and of course I could still keep speaking and being friends with the one and only Nia Kinnifick, as per our wager. So my victory had been threefold. Speaking of Gawain, have you seen him recently? I asked as I stared up at the sky. I'd almost forgotten about him since I couldn't remember the last time I'd seen him. Had it really been at the fight? Nia sat up on her elbows and looked at me.
No, he was absent from our elemental class, and I'm sure you saw he wasn't at dinner.
Yep.
He's hiding. Too embarrassed to show himself.
Nia sighed and shook her head.
It isn't as if he fought poorly. He didn't. It's just that you were better.
A compliment from Nia Kinnifick? That was a shot of pleasure that I hadn't expected. Maybe he dropped out. That would certainly make me happy.
I think most of the school would be happy with that,
she said with a smile, and then shook her head.
But not a chance. His family would never allow that. They have a reputation, an image, and he must uphold that, as all mages must. We are heroes to the common people. We must be more.
Nia wasn't wrong about that. That'll be hard for him, I said.
Perhaps,
she said.
There's a lot of pressure on him.
I leaned my head back against the tree. Not nearly as much as you, though. You're a Kinnifick, after all. Nia scoffed.
Thanks for reminding me, farm boy.
I smirked. You can handle all the pressure, though. You'll be fine. We'd had this conversation before. Nia didn't need any more words of encouragement from me. She was doing more than fine.
You know, you'll have a lot of those expectations and pressures thrust on you, too.
She said with a sly grin on her lips.
Assuming that you become as strong as the headmaster thinks you will, and you single-handedly change how the world views summoners. Now that's pressure.
She was right, of course. I'd proven what I could do, though I was sure that there were probably plenty of people that still needed convincing. That wasn't a problem, though. What I needed to do was show the world that all summoners, not only myself, could be great. And that meant bringing my fellow summoners up to my speed. That was my new goal. I'd need to whip them into shape, mentally, emotionally, and physically, so they could fight as well as I could. I guess we're both in deep, I replied with a chuckle, and she smiled with her eyes still on the stars. We both had pressure on us, and I knew we could both handle it, and exceed the expectations thrust upon us by those around us.
Yeah. It seems so.
She hopped to her feet in one fluid motion and walked up to me, her hand out.
Come on, let's go again.
With pleasure. Nia tackled me around the waist without so much as a warning. Then we were at it again for another half hour, drilling and practicing, until we were covered in sweat. We panted as we faced each other, our fists raised, and our shoulders tensed. Nia's movement slowed, so I took my chance. I threw a punch and a jab. She deflected them with little effort, as I knew she would. But as she blocked my jab, I twisted my body and swept her leg. She stumbled and fell. But as she hit the ground, she rolled through the movement and bounced back onto her feet. She grinned wickedly a moment before she charged me. I took a step back to brace myself for the attack when she threw a fireball at me. I raised my arms to block, and as the blast hit me, my breath caught in my throat, and the impact sent a jolt of pain through my bones. Before I could do anything, Nia jumped on top of me and knocked me to the ground, her knees around my ribs and her arms on mine.
"Ha! I got you that time," she said through labored breaths. "That's what you think," I cried,
and before she could take full control of the situation, I erupted with all the strength I had as I flipped her over and pinned her beneath me. Then I smiled down at her.
"Feels like deja vu, eh?"
I said as I remembered our previous fight. This is exactly how it had gone down. Of course, this was a harmless sparring match, much less intense than a fight in the practice arena in front of Major and the rest of the class. Nia sneered at me.
"Maybe, but I never put any stock in those situations. Case in point."
Then she did something I'd never seen before. She launched a fireball with her mouth. The blast caught me full in the face right before she brought her knees up, planted her feet on me, and pushed, flipping me over her head. As I hit the ground, still dazed from her magical attack, she grabbed my wrist, driving me into the ground as she twisted my arm. She leaned in close.
"I win, this time."
I would have argued, but I couldn't find the words. Nia was so close to me. The tip of her nose grazed my own. Her bangs tickled my forehead, and our breaths mingled. Her bright blue eyes stared into mine, then trailed the length of my face. We kept our gazes locked as we each caught our breath. She licked her luscious lips. Her body was pressed against me, her breasts against my chest. They were soft, despite how tight her shirt was. I could feel her heartbeat against my skin, hammering out a frantic tune. She kissed me. It was a whisper of a kiss, her lips barely grazing my own. But I felt it, and it practically sent a jolt of electricity through both of us. Nia seemed to focus all of a sudden. Her cheeks flared red, and she pushed off me and onto her feet. She was practically shaking, and she scooped up her things before she stood over me.
I think that is enough for tonight,"
she stammered as she smoothed down her top and pulled her hair over one shoulder.
"You need to start using your magic when we fight, or you're never going to beat me again."
I sat up on my elbows. "Yeah." I'd never seen her so flustered. She offered me a slight smile.
"Good night, Griff."
Nia turned then and strode out of the courtyard in a flash. She was gone, and I still lay in the grass. I shook my head and chuckled to myself, my fingertips against my lips. That was something. Chapter 2.
"Griff, you're here!"
Layla said as I walked into my class still sore from the previous night's training with Nia.
"I've been waiting forever for you to show up."
She gave me a sly smile that made me wonder if she was up to something.
"Layla,"
I said as I walked into class a little later than usual, but still on time.
"You're looking damn near chipper,"
I smiled at her.
"That's kind of shocking,"
I smirked.
"Almost as shocking as you actually being here." "Well, what can I say? You've made an impression on me, and I've decided I'm going to be a good student like you."
She gave me a mock salute.
"Also, you should know, I've had a lot of caffeine,"
she added as she came over and gave me a hug.
"A lot."
She did a delightful little bounce.
"Maybe too much,"
she frowned.
"I try to talk to people, but everyone else is so boring."
She grinned at me again.
"But you're never boring, Griff. I'm just glad you showed up,"
I said as we walked to our seats.
"And on time, no less." "You act like I never come." "I do, but only when it suits me."
She stuck her tongue out at me, and I laughed.
"Fair enough, Layla, fair enough."
I gave her a serious look. "But know that if you keep this up, you are dangerously close to becoming a good student."
"Fat chance that'll ever happen,"
she smirked. Despite her words, I was happy she'd shown up. If I was going to make her better, she needed the drive, the want, and the will to do so. Going to class consistently was a good start, and I was going to say something to that effect when our teacher, Miss Arwen Hamner, finally arrived, and she looked as stunning as ever. She wore her usual tight skirt that hugged her hips, like a second skin, and a white blouse that she left mostly unbuttoned, so that her ample breasts could have more room to sway with her confident stride. Her high-heel shoes make her long legs seem impossibly longer, and I could tell every man in the room held their breath when they turned toward her. They would all shit themselves if they knew that the beautiful flame-haired teacher and I were lovers. Arwen smiled brightly as she entered, her large dimples obvious in the morning light. Her long, wavy red hair was tied back in a messy bun, and her amber, almost golden eyes scanned the room.
All right, let's have a review today since you have one more test this week before you have your exams.
She gave us a warm smile.
And for those of you who know the material, try to help your fellow students.
So for the rest of the period, we reviewed everything we went over the last few weeks. It was a long and, if I'm being honest, monotonous class. Since I kept up with my studies and was well prepared for all the tests and exams that were to come. But I didn't complain, and I participated when called upon. Once the review was over, we were dismissed for lunch. After lunch, it was time for summoner class, and it was a perfect day. I walked with my chin out and a large smile on my face as the sun shone brilliantly in the midday sky and bathed me in its warmth. Clouds drifted lazily, their shadows casting long shapes over the large magic-resistant Xanyar stone walls of the academy. Beyond were the immense walls of Varley Enclave. It was one of the wealthiest free cities of humanity and boasted the largest Xanyar stone walls on the planet. They'd have monsters beating down the doors every day otherwise. My friends walked on my sides, their strides almost as excited as mine. Our blue summoner robes flowed in the warm breeze. Brayden was all bulk and muscle and towered over me. Layla was the opposite, petite and lithe. Layla smiled at me as she swiped a hand through her short auburn hair.
You're awfully cheerful now, Griff. Where was this at breakfast or lunch?
I was tired this morning. I shrugged. Brayden snorted beside me. He didn't turn his large square head to look at me.
That's because you were up all night excitedly muttering to yourself like a madman.
Layla choked on a laugh.
You were what?
Her hazel eyes twinkled with amusement, and her smile was bright. It never failed to make me smile as well.
Hey, I was excited, all right,
I replied.
Well, it's not every day you beat an arrogant ass of a prodigy like Gawain Maddox in Rashnikai,
Brayden mused as he scratched at his brown chinstrap beard.
I guess I'd have been in the same boat, but it's been 3 nights.
We laughed.
I wonder where Gawain was for 3 days,
Layla wondered, her golden skin bright in the morning light.
Missing breakfast is one thing, but missing all those classes is another.
I shrugged. He was probably still nursing that wounded pride of his. Must be an insult to his family that he got beat by a lowly summoner. Brayden laughed, his thick neck tensing with each loud cackle.
I bet it is.
We all chuckled. Personally, I didn't give a damn what Gawain did after our duel. I'd proven my skill. He could drop out for all I cared. I'd live a happy and content life knowing I'd never see his sneering face again or smelling that stench of perfume that he always wore, like a thick suit of armor. But he was back at breakfast this morning, which was what I expected. As long as he left me alone going forward, though, I'd be fine with him. The summoner training grounds rose before us, a large warehouse-like building that looked as if it was made from brick on the outside, but on the inside, it was lined with more Xanyar stone. Brayden held the door open for Layla and me, and the three of us entered and took our seats at one of the many small desks lined in rows around the room. There were about 20 of them, but we were the only 3 summoners in the class. There were other summoner classes in the year above us, but I doubted any of them had anywhere near 20 people. So few people turned to summoning due to the bias against it, a bias that we were going to change. I didn't mind the small class size, though. I liked the intimate relationship between us students and the teacher. Surprisingly, our teacher Rory Brevins was already present. When I'd first met him, he'd been a sloppy drunk who didn't care about taking care of himself, much less teaching his students. Years of being belittled and beaten down by his peers for being a summoner could do that to a person. But since I'd come and shown how different summoning could be, Rory had found a new font of enthusiasm within himself. He wore a light cologne now, kept his clothes and robes clean, and I'd even noticed that he'd lost a little weight. Not a lot, compared to his immense gut and the three chins he had, but it was progress. He was still a drunk, but some things would take time. I was simply glad he didn't get hammered before coming to class anymore. As it was, he had a mug of coffee on his desk and poured something, alcohol, I assumed, from a flask into the coffee as we walked in.
"Oh, good," he said. "Right on time."
Layla chuckled.
"Shouldn't we be telling you that?"
"Maybe, Bethel. Maybe," Rory conceded. "Suffice it to say, you were right on time. I, on the other hand, was early."
I rolled my eyes as I put my bag down. "Should you really be drinking this early, sir?"
"I'll need to pick me up, Griff," the teacher scoffed. "Don't you worry. It's just a little bit of whiskey to liven up my coffee."
Brayden snorted.
"I'm sure it will."
Rory ignored that.
"By the way, Griff, congratulations on your victory in Rashnikai. It's rather belated since I'd forgotten. But congrats. It's not often that summoners participate in them, let alone win them. And over that arrogant little..."
"Are you allowed to talk about students like that?" I asked with a smile. He waved that off.
"Hey, I don't teach him. And from what I've heard, he's an ass anyway. You're adults. I can say what I wish."
I laughed. "Well, Gawain is certainly a rich prick, that's for sure. He needed to be knocked down a peg or two." Mr. Brevins chuckled and then took a gulp of his whiskey-infused coffee.
"That you did. And in spectacular fashion, I might add."
He adjusted his tie and ran a hand through his whitening hair.
"I hope you know what you're getting into, joining that response squad."
"Is there something wrong with that?" I asked with a frown.
"Not necessarily," Rory shrugged. "It's just dangerous. Though I suppose you have vastly more experience than the majority of first years. That with what you did at Raylor's Stead. And then again when that rift opened up on campus. Those two events are essentially what you'll be doing on the response squad. So if you're up for that constant danger, then I'm not the one going to deter you."
I nodded. "I appreciate that, sir.
I know you'll do well, Griff."
He took another sip of coffee, capping it with a satisfied sigh.
"Now let's begin the lesson, shall we?"
We drilled for a couple of hours in the main training room, which was a wide-open space like warehouse, accompanied by dummies and obstacles and replicas of towns and such for practice. I didn't do much this time, though, as it was mostly Layla and Brayden trying to control the new Grade E monsters that they'd bought from the school store. Well, Brayden bought them, as Layla didn't have a lot in the way of funds, and Brayden was a rich boy. I offered to let them use some of my own, but they declined. Rory and I went over ways that basic monsters like speed slugs and bullet bass could amplify other monsters, like give them speed, make them metal, grant resistance to fire, lightning, and so on. The concepts were easy to grasp, but Brayden and Layla weren't used to controlling so many monsters at once, so they needed to learn how to regulate their mana and exert their will over so many creatures. This was the first time they were trying this, so I wasn't overly concerned about their slow progress. I hadn't always been a great summoner either. I was confident that they would get to my level with time and practice.
"How do you make it look so easy?"
Layla cried as she grabbed her hair in both fists and grunted as she struggled to control all her monsters. "You're still new to summoning so many monsters at once," I shrugged and grinned at my friend. "It takes years of practice to learn how to regulate your mana and exert your will over so many creatures." I gave her a reassuring smile. "Don't worry, though. You'll get there soon."
"I don't know, Griff,"
she sighed, clearly frustrated.
"I'm not against this method of summoning, but can I still summon my bigger monsters?"
"Of course you can, Bethel,"
our teacher Rory said as he stepped between us.
"We're trying to make you a better mage. Griff's techniques are meant to supplement the skills you already have.
Layla didn't look convinced, so I put my arm around her. Summon your monsters, Layla. Let's see what we can do with it. I mean, I've never seen one of your more powerful ones. She shrugged.
If you say so.
Her fingers gripped a large essence crystal from the belt around her waist that hung low on her left hip, just above the edge of her skirt. The crystal was wide and a swirling dark blue, nothing like any of my own. The largest crystal I had was the Sun Giant, my mentor Maelor had given me before I came to the Varley Academy, and I doubted I had the mana to use it. Whatever Layla had, it was strong. The larger the crystal, the more powerful the monster inside, after all. She chucked the crystal. With a brief flash of light and a puff of smoke, her monster appeared, and I took an involuntary step back before I could stop myself from retreating any further. It was a Hippocrans. It had a large body like an elephant with massive muscled front legs that were practically arms. Huge fists as wide as a horse's torso sat on the end of them. It was hunched on its back legs, which were bent knees folded ready to leap, what I imagined was a terrifying length. Its skin was rough and thick, like a rhino, but dark blue with yellow dots riddled throughout the length of it. Finally, it had a snake-like head, wide and thin with a flat snout that I knew housed a long, coiled tongue. Hippocrans were some of the wildest and most dangerous monsters one could encounter, and it took a lot of mana and skill for summoners to tame. Still, my friend must have had a great deal of control over it, because it stood there silently, head cocked, as its orange eyes stared at me curiously. It was unnerving, to say the least.
Layla, this is amazing, I told her. Where on earth did you get one of those?
She wagged her finger at me.
Mages, don't reveal their tricks.
My roommate Brayden snorted beside her.
No. It's magicians don't reveal their tricks, but those are harmless street performers.
Oh, hush, Flint,
she said before she stuck her tongue out at him. A moment later, she turned back to me.
What do you think?
I stroked my chin and studied the magnificent beast. I knew a lot about them already, for I'd read about them in one of the books Arwen had asked me to read. They're incredibly strong and can leap tremendous distances, I began. They're fast if they're going in a straight line, but they can't move laterally very well, nor can they turn quickly. They have a long tongue, too.
How can I make it better?
She pressed with a devilish twinkle in her eyes. Well, I paused. Hippocrans are already immensely powerful, though. I've read that they're not good when fighting multiple opponents, especially if their opponents are bigger. I turned to Rory. Mr. Brevins, do you have three of anything that's big? He grinned.
I have just the thing, actually.
He pulled out three essence crystals from a pouch on his robe and threw them clear across the room. They disappeared in a flash and a puff of smoke, which is what happens whenever a monster is summoned. What came out were three giants, nearly as tall as the ceiling, all long, lean limbs and weathered skin. They had white skin with patches where it almost blended into gray and brown. Long, muscular arms stretched down to almost their knees. They had stubby noses, huge fangs that stuck out of their lips, and long, scraggly beards. They groaned like old dying men, their voices gravely and coarse like sand.
You want me to fight those?
Layla asked incredulously.
No, I want you to beat them, I told her.
Don't worry, I'll help you.
Don't giants have near diamond hard skin?
Brayden asked meekly. And I could tell his fear of monsters had cropped up in the presence of those petrifying beasts. They do, but I have a plan for that. I nodded. We'll do this together. Okay?
Sounds good, Griff.
She smiled at me.
What's the plan?
I whispered to Layla, and she grinned.
Got it.
With that, her Hippocrans was off in a sprint, its huge arms propelling it forward. I summoned a speed slug and attached it to the Hippocrans' back. It suddenly blurred, too fast to see, but that wouldn't help its lateral movement, though that wasn't what I wanted it to do anyway. I summoned a couple of ice imps, their stubby little bodies only barely held up by their small leathery wings. As the Hippocrans dove in between the giant's legs, narrowly avoiding their slow sweeping swings, Layla's creature came back and scooped up the imps, Then the Hippocrants used its powerful back legs and newfound slug speed to launch itself onto the nearest wall. As soon as it touched the Xanyar stone surface, it propelled itself to the next one, and then the next. Soon, it was bouncing from wall to wall like a ricocheting bullet. The giants stood around confused. They tried to attack, but the Hippocrants was moving too fast. Now it was time to see if my plan worked. As the Hippocrants whirled around the giants, I had my imps, still clutched in the monster's grip, unleash their ice magic. Slowly, the giants began to freeze, despite their struggles to lash out at the bouncing Hippocrants. Their long limbs freezing over with ice until they were finally frozen solid. Once they were immobilized, the Hippocrants ceased its mad dash and dove for the closest target. It released my imps, reared its fist back, and punched the giant with the force of a train. The giant exploded in a spray of broken ice and guts. The guts thankfully evaporated almost immediately, or else we would have been covered in giant goo. The Hippocrants repeated this with the other two until the floor was covered with shards of melting ice and chunks of blood and viscera. Layla whooped and pumped her fists in the air. Rory laughed and clapped enthusiastically. "Well done," he said. "Now that is what we can do." I turned to Layla and put a hand on her shoulder. "What you can do."
"That was awesome," said Brayden with an odd smile.
He didn't look as scared as he had at the beginning of the fight. It was. I dropped my hand from Layla's shoulder.
"To do what you did took incredible control and concentration. If you can do that, you can do what I do."
Her smile was bright. Her cheeks flushed with pride.
"I sure hope so."
"Don't worry. I know so."
Chapter 3. After lunch the following day, instead of continuing to train with the Major, Nia and I were excused for our training session with the Monster Response Squad. I was happy to have a break from our usual workouts, though I wasn't quite sure what we would be doing at this particular training session. It could be far more grueling than the regular training. As we walked, I asked,
"Do you have any clue what we'll be doing today?"
Nia and I hadn't spoken since she'd kissed me briefly 2 nights ago. There was a tension between us now, and I didn't like it, but at least we had something else to worry about for the moment.
"I do not know. This is my first time too, remember?"
She ended that with a smile, which made me exhale a breath I hadn't realized I'd been holding. "True," I said. "I just figured you'd have some insight, since all your family has done this." She shrugged.
"I know what goes on when we actually go on a mission. But the training leading up to it is a mystery to me. I know it can vary from squad to squad. The squad leader has a lot to say in what goes on. So it's up to Miss Arwen."
I nodded. "I see." Nia nudged me with her elbow.
"Don't worry, little yokel. She won't teach you anything that will hurt that tiny brain of yours."
"My little brain can handle plenty, Kinnifik," I replied with a chuckle. We both smiled, and my heart pounded heavily in relief. I was glad that things were starting to get back to normal between us, or so it seemed. I wasn't about to ask her about the kiss, though. That could wait. For now, we had work to do. We walked to the southern end of campus where the response squad training grounds were located. They'd been established in a wide, open-air building that looked a lot like the school arena, though a lot less flashy in its architecture. There were no arches or intricately carved columns like the arena had. It was large and practical, not flashy and ornate. The entrance was little more than a pair of plain double doors that opened to reveal a dark tunnel. Through it, I could see Arwen and the other members of our squad already waiting for us. I swallowed hard and lengthened my stride, my mind and body full of determination. I had to make a good first impression. Our footsteps echoed off the brick tunnel and announced our arrival for Arwen and the rest of the team. They turned as one when they heard us. Arwen smiled and put her hands on her hips.
"Ah, Nia, Griff, there you are."
We emerged from the tunnel and into the bright practice arena where the sun reflected off the golden Xanyar stone. It was blinding, so I shaded my eyes with my hand until my eyes adjusted to the light, Then I saw that though the training arena looked as wide as the official arena from the outside, it was actually larger, for there were no cumbersome bleachers taking up space. Here, it was only the outer wall, and nothing else but a flat surface, filled with simulated debris, walls, and obstacles, like the summoner training room. Once I took it all in, I waved to Arwen and my two new squad mates. "Hello!" Nia stood next to me, rigid and stiff, and waved awkwardly at the two other students. Arwen chuckled at this.
"Welcome to Monster Response Squad 46, she said with a wide smile that made her cheeks even more defined than usual. "Allow me to introduce Oren Viscati," one of the men said as he put his hand out for a shake. He was a hair shorter than me, with bright gray eyes and a strong stubbled jaw. His hair was thin and receding above his forehead, though he couldn't have been more than a few years older than me. He wore an adept's white robes with bronze trim. That told me he could manipulate his body in some way. I shook the offered hand as Arwen put a hand on Oren's shoulder.
"Oren is a metalog, so he can do virtually everything your bullet bass can do.
Except I'm not fireproof," he said with a smirk. "Plus, the transformation enhances my strength."
I nodded.
"I'm Griff. I've heard some of you can make weapons from your arms and legs. Can you do that?"
He frowned and shook his head.
"Unfortunately, no. But perhaps one day my skills will advance to that level. I can encase my body in metal like you did in your fight with Gawain. Once I do that, I'm impervious to most non-magical damage. Plus the strength I mentioned."
"That's amazing," I said with a smile that Oren matched.
"Quite."
Then Nia pushed past me.
"Nia Kennefic," she said, extending her hand.
They shook, his face stern and smirking while he greeted her with a nod, though she didn't seem interested in chatting. Around these people, she'd reverted back to the cold and reserved woman I'd first met. We'd have to coax her out of that.
"That shouldn't be too hard. Not with me here."
The other student stepped forward, his arms behind his back. If Oren was a metalog, then this man must be the Banisher.
"This is Varleth Prost, our Banisher," Arwen announced.
Varleth was short and broad, his shoulders bulging through his gray robes that were trimmed in black. I'd never seen robes like his, but as he was the first Banisher I'd ever met, I wasn't too surprised. "Nice to meet you," I said, and we shook hands. His narrow eyes pierced through me for a moment. They were dark brown, almost black. His thin lips were set in a severe line. His angular cheeks were as sharp as knives.
"I'm sure," he said in a low, monotone voice that sounded like he didn't care at all.
Just what I needed. Someone else who was cold. At least I knew Nia had some fire in her personality, though I'd had to work hard to make it appear. I didn't know if I wanted to work that hard on Varleth. Nia introduced herself.
"I'm
Nia Kennefic. I know," he cut her off. "A pleasure, I'm sure."
She scowled at him, and I didn't blame her. His emotionless voice made it hard to tell if he was sincere or being sarcastic. I hoped for his sake that he was sincere. Neither Nia nor I would put up with a bad attitude. Arwen clapped her hands together, all smiles. Her attitude was infectious.
"Okay, now that we're through with introductions, let's begin."
She walked past us all to the center of the arena, so we followed suit. Our boots echoed against the stone floor and filled the silent air. Arwen clasped her hands behind her back before she stopped and swiveled back to face us.
"Miss Kennefic," Arwen began, "I assume you pretty much know everything about how a response squad operates, considering your lineage?"
Nia bristled for a moment before nodding.
"Yes, ma'am. As expected. Now," she said and turned her gaze to me.
Her smile was gone, replaced with a stern expression.
"That leaves you, Griff. Oren and Varleth are veterans, so we'll have to bring you and Nia, to a lesser extent, up to speed."
I inclined my head, my hands flat against my side.
"Yes, ma'am."
Arwen snickered, and that made me feel better.
"Don't worry. You're not starting from scratch. You two have essentially been through what we typically do when you went into the rift here at school. When a rift opens in or near a town, we arrive and enter. We keep monsters from crossing over while Varleth searches for and destroys the catalyst."
"Okay,"
So what's our general strategy for that?
Nia asked. Orin cleared his throat and answered. If I may, Miss Hamna. Arwen nodded, so he continued. In general, we'll have a vanguard enter first and deal with the bulk of the monster threat.
And that would be?
Nia interrupted before he could answer. He smiled.
You can probably guess. But to save you time, the vanguard for this squad will be you and Griff.
Arwen cut in.
We know what you did with the Rift, as well as what talent Griff has displayed at Raylor's stead and in his fight against Gawain. Truthfully, what you went up against a month ago was much more than what we'd usually face. And you did it with only the two of you.
I smiled, my face flushing with pride. Nia had a small smirk too. Not very noticeable, but I could pick up on her small mannerisms by now. We had every reason to feel proud and confident. Not arrogant like Gawain, but we had accomplished things that first years never did. At the time, I hadn't realized how incredible my fight with the FireEye was, or how astounding it was that Nia and I fended off a horde of monsters in the Shadowscape. But it proved how skilled we were.
You should be able to handle most of what we encounter, Arwen continued. Obviously, each rift is different, and we can predict what we will face on the inside. But going off past experience, what you have dealt with already is more than usual. And besides, as team leader, I'll be right alongside you.
I frowned. But you're a healer. Wouldn't it be dangerous for you? Arwen chuckled and gripped my shoulder.
What we do is always dangerous, Griff, no matter how magically gifted we are. Do you think Headmaster Sleet would put me in charge of a squad if I had to be coddled in the middle of battle?
No, I stammered, and I hoped I hadn't accidentally offended Arwen in my desire to keep her safe.
Probably not.
She smiled wide, and that put me at ease, as always.
Precisely. I appreciate your concern, but you needn't worry. I can handle myself just fine.
At that moment, she slapped her hand onto her left arm, gripped it, and then slid her hand down her forearm. As she did, her arm glowed, and suddenly she seemed to pull a sword from her arm. Nia and I gawked.
You're a fabricator?
I asked, astonished. Arwen nodded with a smirk.
Not a strong one. This is all I can create, and it takes a lot of concentration and mana.
She stepped back and flourished her sword around her masterfully. It was obvious that she was a gifted swordswoman.
But this is enough, I assure you. As I said, I can handle myself.
Amazing, I said again. I loved seeing other people's magic.
Nia cleared her throat. Please continue,
she pressed, clearly to steer the conversation back to strategy.
Yes,
Arwen said, a smile still on her lips.
You and Griff will be the main defense against the monsters trying to escape into our world. I will be there to keep you healthy. Meanwhile, Orin will escort Varleth as he searches for the catalyst.
That's all the protection he needs? I asked, puzzled. Banishers didn't have any offensive magic, and though Metalogs were strong, I didn't know how well Orin would handle himself while protecting Varleth against a crowd of monsters, especially if it were a powerful one like a Grey Prowler, a Draken, or a FireEye. No offense, I added in Orin's direction. He shrugged, a grin on his lips. It's fine. Arwen thought of an answer for a brief moment. She ran her slender fingers through her wavy red locks and threw them over her right shoulder.
I don't know if you know this or not, Griff, since we haven't taught it in my class, but monsters are almost always drawn to magic.
So the Vanguard, I began.
Is like bait in a trap,
Nia finished, her lips pursed and brow furrowed.
Precisely,
Arwen agreed, hands on her hips.
It's a double-edged sword. You draw the monsters away from Orin and Varleth, but that means more monsters will try to cross the rift, making your job more difficult.
And the plans can change, Orin added. Monsters are unpredictable, so though they'll usually focus on the immense magic of the Vanguard, sometimes they'll simply attack anything that moves, or some of the smarter higher-grade monsters will attack Varleth and I. At that point, our plan will have to change.
I scratched my chin and scowled. Smart monsters? Arwen nodded.
Not all monsters are mindless beasts. It's usually the higher grade ones that are smarter, more than what you'll most commonly face. But the possibility is there.
Nia commented as she crossed her arms.
Arwen nodded.
Yes, it's always there, but that is why we train, to attempt to predict and be able to react to all of these situations.
The whole time we talked, I noticed Varlith hung back, his chin inside the neck of his robes, like he didn't want to be seen. I guessed the conversation didn't matter all that much to him. After all, he had one job to do, and one job only, and that didn't change regardless of the enemy. We turned as footsteps echoed through the entranceway behind us. A moment later, two people emerged from the dark tunnel, bathed in light. One was Mr. Brevins, our summoning teacher, who didn't look at all pleased by the brightness. I saw sweat already glistening on his forehead, and his breath was labored. We were fairly far from his classroom, but I didn't think he'd get so winded so easily. Next to him was a woman I didn't know, but I was drawn to immediately, because she also wore the blue robes of a summoner. She was impossibly tall, standing a head and a half taller than Rory, with perfectly straight sandy hair that fell down her back like a silk curtain. Her eyes seemed too small for her face, and her nose a little too pointy, but she had a pleasant, if stern, smile that put me at ease. Three jagged scars ran the length of her right jaw from her ear to her chin, and a chunk of her ear was missing. She appeared to be a few years older than Arwen, so I assumed she must have been a teacher. Arwen smiled and walked over to them and shook their hands.
"Ah, glad you could make it. Always," said the woman, her voice soft and meek.
Still smiling, Arwen put a hand on the woman's arm and turned her attention back to us.
"Miss Kinnifick, Griff, this is Mrs. Joyner, the third-year summoning teacher. She teaches advanced mechanics." "Hi, a pleasure to make your acquaintances," she said, her thin lips curled into a reassuring smile.
I waved. "Nice to meet you, too." And it was. I always enjoyed meeting other summoners, on the rare occasions that it happened.
"You're doing things that even my students struggle with,"
she praised, which made me flush with pride.
"A few of my students get together with me for study sessions. I'd appreciate it if you could come by sometime to give them some pointers."
I was taken aback by her honest request. I hadn't expected to be seen as a teacher already by other teachers, but I wouldn't say no to that.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to." "Good,"
she smiled, and then turned to Nia.
"And of course, charmed to meet you too, Miss Kinnifick."
"Hello,"
Nia added, sounding not so enthusiastic. Mrs. Joyner didn't notice, or didn't care either way. Arwen then extended her hand to Rory. He cleared his throat and did his best to stand straight and composed. I had to stifle a laugh at his trouble to do so.
"Griff, you two are already acquainted. Nia, this is Mr. Brevins, first-year summoning teacher."
Rory smiled and put out his hand to shake.
"Pleased to meet you, Miss Kinnifick. I've heard only good things."
Nia narrowed her eyes at that comment, but did her best to offer him a slight smile.
"Thanks. I should hope so."
Brevins nodded and then turned his gaze to me.
"Hi there, kid.
Good to see you sober, Rory," I said with a cheeky smile. He bristled and his face turned red with anger.
"What did I tell you about calling me by my first name, you little shit?"
I only smiled in response, and Arwen put a hand between us.
"Anyway,"
she said with a roll of her eyes,
"these two will help us train. Going over strategy verbally is all well and good, but it's better to experience it firsthand."
She clapped her hands together with glee, and then we trained in earnest. Rory and Mrs. Joyner threw a lot at us, beginning with waves and waves of grunt-level monsters, though it was nothing compared to the real thing we'd faced in the Shadowscape. The first part of our training was to make sure that we could handle such things. A formality, really. But Arwen was doing her job diligently, so we couldn't fault her for that. Nia and I hardly had to exert ourselves. As soon as the enemy beasts were unleashed by our teachers, I threw out an essence crystal as Nia began to weave a spell in the air around her. As electricity began to course up her arms, my crystal burst into a flash of light and smoke as a bullet bass flew out. Nia threw her arms outward and sent the lightning down them while I added a speed slug to the bass. By the time her bolt launched out toward the bass, it was fully sped up and hurtled toward the enemy. As we had seen before, the electricity jolted through the bass, conducted along its metal body, and burst outward to fry the entire horde as the bass rocketed through their midst.
From there, we went over different strategies. Arwen, with her hands folded behind her back, asked,
If there is a large number of grunts attacking the rift, but a stronger yet smaller number of monsters peeling off to find Orin and Varleth, what would be our best strategy then?
Nia stroked her chin briefly.
It should be me. My magic is perfectly suited to clearing out scores of weaker enemies in quick succession. Crowd control is what elementals are good at, especially since I can use several elements.
That last bit would have sounded like arrogant bragging to a person who didn't know Nia. But frankly, she was speaking honestly. She was only a first year, but she was already one of the most capable and powerful mages around. She didn't brag. She simply stated facts. It wasn't arrogance if her words were true. Arwen nodded with agreement.
Very good assessment. You are correct. Most squads employ at least one elemental as the primary combatant. Griff, you will be with Nia at the Vanguard too.
Understood.
However, in the likely event that strong monsters focus their efforts on Varleth and Orin, you will cover them, she continued. Your monsters excel at slowing others down, so even if they couldn't completely defeat a group of strong monsters, which I have full faith that they could, your cement trolls, ice imps, and a plethora of others should be able to buy Varleth enough time.
Don't worry. He'll have all the time in the world, I said confidently. Varleth, still so silent, scoffed and rolled his eyes. That didn't matter, though. I didn't need his faith in me as long as I produced results. Orin crossed his arms as he was deep in thought. I knew that look. He had an idea.
Couldn't...
He paused, then gathered his thoughts.
Couldn't Griff give Varleth and me two of his speed slugs? That way we could quickly find the catalyst and he could focus his efforts with Nia.
Arwen was about to respond, but she hesitated when she saw me shake my head.
Unfortunately, it's not so simple, I began. It could prove an efficient plan, which could work if the catalyst isn't too far away, but the farther my monsters are from me, the less control I have over them. Untamed speed slugs aren't necessarily lethal, but they are similar to leeches. Instead of blood, they sap mana. Without my control, my slugs would suck you too dry.
Then we'd be in real trouble. Orin considered this, as did Arwen. She frowned.
So that's a move we should only use in emergencies.
I nodded. That would probably be wise, yes.
Then it's decided, she said with a confident grin.
Before we could get further into more detailed strategies regarding different monster grades and types, the school bell chimed 5 times, the sun sinking low in the sky, ready to fall below the school and enclave walls. Time had flown by. Arwen's lips curved into a satisfied, beaming smile.
Great work today, everyone. You showed a lot of promise.
That made us smile. Varleth excluded, who didn't smile for anything, it seemed. Rory gave us a thumbs up, and Mrs. Joyner smirked shyly.
We'll meet again in 2 days, same time as before, Arwen continued. Nia, Griff, I want you two reading up on monster anatomy. Go over their strengths and weaknesses on different types. And how to combat them.
Yes, ma'am,
Nia and I said simultaneously.
Perhaps you can use the book I recommended for you, Griff.
She gave me a knowing smile.
Yeah, right.
I looked at Nia, who stared back at me with a grin before rolling her eyes. Arwen clapped her hands excitedly.
Excellent. Again, great practice today. I look forward to seeing your progress going forward. Now go and get ready for din-
A siren blared from a cone-shaped horn mounted on one of the walls of the training ground. The whine of it pierced the air and made me want to cover my ears. I recognized it, though. I'd heard it from the other areas of campus many times since I'd been at the academy. Arwen looked up at it and frowned before sighing.
I guess Denna will have to wait, she said.
Why? I asked. What does that horn mean? Rory cleared his throat.
That's the alarm calling for the aid of a monster response squad to close a rift.
And I know for certain that the other Varleth response squads are all out on their own missions, Arwen said, her hands on her hips. So that means you're up.
Are you sure that is wise, Miss Hamner?
Varleth asked, his voice a little condescending. She gave me a brief smile before answering.
If it were any other first years, maybe not. But I have faith in these two.
Nia inclined her head next to me, so I did the same. Do not worry, ma'am. We will not let you down.
Arwen's smile filled me with pride and confidence.
I know you won't.
Chapter 4.
Time was not on our side, and Arwen rushed us, so I didn't get to dwell on the sensation of donning my combat armor for the first time. It wasn't anything special. A boiled leather chest piece with a deep blue hooded cloak, designed to be easy to move in for the weaker mages among us. On top of that, I was given steel gauntlets and leg guards for added protection, since we were the front line of defense against the monster threat. The others were dressed much the same. We all wore the same leather armor, gauntlets, and leg guards over our gray military uniforms, made from a tight, breathable material. As always, our cloaks denoted our magical abilities. Orin had a white cloak with gray trim. Arwen's also white, but with red trim. Nia's was like her school robes, blazing gold with no trim. Unlike the rest of us, Varlith wore full plate and mail armor under his black banisher cloak, as he was essential to closing rifts, with no offensive magic of his own. I supposed the extra armor was not only wise, but also necessary. Once we were ready, we quickly mounted up on horses from the academy stables that Nia and I had cleaned nightly for a fortnight after we'd recklessly jumped into the rift that had opened on school grounds. We tore out of the gates at a gallop so we could get to the closest of the large military airship docking towers spread throughout the city. Excitement rushed through me. I'd never been on an airship before, so this was a new experience that I'd been dying to have for a while now. I marveled at the airship as we approached the docking tower. It was similar to the one that had come to Raylorstead those months ago to deal with the Fire Eye and the Rift, only to find that I'd already dealt with it. This airship seemed a tad smaller than that one, but this still resembled a fat fish, a hulking round shape with large rudders that extended on the tops and sides of the airship. The slick, shiny steel of the hull and the copper rudders glinted in the afternoon sunlight. Large exhaust ports lined the belly of the ship, with a cluster of them situated at the back. A large domed window filled the head of the ship where the pilot sat, though there were smaller viewing ports spaced evenly throughout the body of the ship. The inside of the tower was bland and nondescript, a mostly empty lobby that housed a large metal lift that would take us up to the ship. We shot up the lift, far faster than the other lifts I'd used. This one was completely encased in metal, not like the gilded cages of the others. When we came to a halt and the door slid open, I stepped out with the others and into the cargo bay of the airship, right above the exhaust ports. The bay was packed with crates and barrels of supplies, strapped down for flight. At the aft of the bay was a large loading ramp and an angled door that swung down when opened to become a step down for the ship's personnel. Seats lined the walls to my left, with a dozen soldiers packed into them, already strapped in, their packs and guns in hand. They gave us nods and went back to their individual conversations, as Arwen led the way past them and up a stairwell cut into the space between the walls. The next level was another world compared to the cargo bay. It was a wide open space lined with portholes I'd seen from the ground. The walls were accented with polished wood that gave the room a warm, comforting feeling. Rows of leather seats lined either side of the stairwell against the walls. They looked far more comfortable than the metal benches the soldiers had been strapped to. Arwen made her way past us through an open passageway at the fore of the ship, to the cockpit, where I could see light streaming through the large windows. She paused at the doorway, a slender hand on the metal frame, and turned to address us.
"Take your seats. We'll be lifting off shortly."
Orin took a seat between two portholes, strapped in, and pulled out a book from his pack. Varlith sat right next to the stairwell, rigid, faced forward, as if he was ready for action at any moment. He was a standoffish sort of man, but I could appreciate his obvious seriousness and dedication to closing rifts. I supposed that was essential for a banisher. I sat down beside Nia, even though she still hadn't talked to me about that kiss we'd shared. Even if I didn't know where things stood between us, I wouldn't let that interfere with our mission. On the plus side, she smiled faintly when I sat down beside her and our arms brushed. "I feel like this room is too nice for just a small response squad," I commented as I took in more of the luxury.
The lights on the ceiling were trimmed in gold. Paint, I hoped. There was a bar at the back with a wide assortment of alcohol fastened behind a glass cabinet. Nia didn't seem at all fazed or surprised by that, though.
Airships aren't only used by the military.